Welcome to The Follow-Up. This is the place where we explore questions you've submitted after Sunday's sermon. Maybe it's something that left you curious, confused, or inspired. We'll talk through it together. Ready? Let's get to The Follow-Up.
Well, hello and welcome back to The Follow-Up Podcast. Sean and Crystal here, pastors at Life Community Church.
Still here.
We are still here. How are you this morning?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
I got my sister's coffee as usual.
So as usual.
Pretty much the same all the time. What do you got over there?
I change it up all the time.
Yeah.
I've got a sparkling ice with caffeine.
So you're going to crack that open right now.
Okay. Here you go, guys. It is water with caffeine in it. So.
Wow.
See how it goes. Yeah.
Trying something different. Pretty good? No. The look says it's not so good. Okay.
Let's move on.
Okay. Well, new series started 2 weeks ago now on our values. So taking a look again at how we do this, how we live into our values to help us all pull together in the same direction for our mission of connecting people to Jesus and their life's purpose. And so, yeah, so we tackled another one this week, personal connection.
Personal connection.
Yeah. Everything changes when it's someone you know.
Yeah.
So we got some questions?
It does, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, first one. That saying, everything changes when it's someone you know, why does that actually matter for our faith?
Yeah, I think it matters, obviously, because Jesus lives by example, right? So he shows us what it means to be present in people's lives. And so, you know, we try to, you know, be with him, you know, do what he did. And so Jesus got present with people, mm-hmm. and he was curious to get to know who people were. Mm-hmm. And so I think as we follow after him, we do the same. And so he often got in trouble for hanging out with the wrong people. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that was just an example of like, we can easily kind of other people and so in some ways human nature, I think, part of our fallen nature to like want to like tribalize. Hmm. Right. And so when we get proximate with people, then we put ourselves in a position to learn how to love. And ultimately what we're called to do, right, is like demonstrate God's love to the world. And you can't do that from a distance necessarily. And so one of the ways that we do that is just to bring people close. And when we do that, it changes us, right? And we get so much more difficult to hold an opinion or, have a preconceived idea about somebody's situation. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit, I think last week on the podcast about like the value of going on a mission trip, mm-hmm. you know, just to get proximate with people who have a different worldview, a different life experience than you. And I think everybody who has probably gone on a trip like that is changed, because everything changes when someone you know, right? It's you know, so much easier from a distance to say, well, those people are screwed up, or they're, you know, their way of doing things mm-hmm. is dumb. But when you go and actually, you know, walk with them and live with them and hear their story, and like it changes. And I think if we walk with the Spirit, it deepens our heart of love and our heart of compassion, and helps us to sometimes it breaks our heart, right? Yeah. Sometimes it like it makes us, you know, feel sadness and empathy, and it should, right? Yeah. So like I think it forces us into a space where we have to trust the Spirit to do a work in us and to help us see. So like that, it's a loaded statement when we say everything changes when it's someone you know. But there's just, I think it's the example of Jesus in that, when he comes, right, when he takes on flesh, John 1, then literally it changes the world.
Yeah.
And so, and our lives are changed when we know Christ. And so we model that by moving towards people again, and bringing people close. So,
yeah, you know, everything that we do is, you know, we're apprentices to Jesus, right? Like we model what he does. That's how we live our life. We're not out here trying to figure out how to do this life in Christ by ourselves. Like, we have the example, and so, you know, for our faith, it's everything. That mm-hmm. the example that Jesus gave and set for us shows us exactly how to do this. And he got close every single time mm-hmm. to people. And so it's just one of those things where, like, well, we're just going to do what Jesus did mm-hmm. to become like Jesus. And so, you know, I think that's just kind of the crux of it. Like, it matters for our faith because it is our faith. Mm-hmm. And so we do it, even if it is hard and uncomfortable and awkward, and it will be all of those things. I'm sure that Jesus had moments where it felt probably awkward. I mean, he's human too, so.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think just even, you know, the whole biblical imagery of, you know, Paul talks about, like, we are the body of Christ, right? There's this, like, unity and proximity that's required for us to represent the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so we have to, like, lean in. And then, you know, even the larger idea throughout the scripture is that, you know, Jesus is returning for the bride, right? Which is the church. Mm-hmm. And again, so there's this sense of us in the scripture, and, you know, in the Western world, especially, you know, we tend to individualize everything yeah. and personalize everything, you know, like, make it, like, all about me and,
right.
you know, and that in, especially in Eastern context, but in the scriptures, like, there's very much an us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they talk about Old Testament, obviously, you know, the Israelites and what God is doing with the chosen people. But even in some kind of New Testament imagery, when it talks about the body or the bride or households, right, there isn't a lot of, like, individuals. Yes. And so this individualistic kind of idea that, or worldview that we have, goes against some of this sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so how do we kind of flip that? And like, we're responsible to give ourselves to one another.
Yeah.
And so this kind of the theological thrust behind, like, personal connection is a little bit of that.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, like, how do I give myself to other people?
Yeah.
Obviously can't do that with everybody, right? Like, Jesus did do it to every single person, whoever wanted his attention.
Yeah.
So there was some discernment involved in that.
But the posture.
Yeah, exactly.
Is, yeah, I'm going to give myself to people. Yeah. One of the things you said on Sunday in the sermon, you know, how we do this is we have to slow down. We have mm-hmm. to be willing to have, you know, margin, or you said white space, to be able to notice the people that God has placed in our lives. Makes me think of, you know, just the story of the man on the side of the road, right? And mm-hmm. this, and the people that pass by and don't notice, like, who's right in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're on a mission, or they have preconceived ideas about, you know, who he is and his mm-hmm. story and their own religious stuff that's all wrapped up in it. But, like, we can't get proximate to people unless we create space. And so why is slowing down so critical, and what often gets in the way for us?
Yeah. Yeah. So you're talking about the parable of the Good Samaritan, yeah. right? And that, I think, again, like, thinking through, like, you know, Jesus's time in history, you know, they walked everywhere. Right. And so, or maybe they rode a donkey from time mm-hmm. to time. But everything was slow, right? They, you know, they didn't have, like, mass food production. Right. Yeah. And so, like literally everything was slow. And so, you know, I don't know that we can replicate that in our world today, but we have to figure out, like, how do we slow down enough to notice, what's going on around us. And I think it's really hard. It's one of the probably more difficult, call it a practice, if you will, of, like, slowing enough. And it doesn't mean like my schedule might not be full, or, you know, but it again, you talk about posture a little bit earlier. It's a little bit of a posture of, I have things to do, but I can't afford to just go about doing those things without a sensitivity to what the Spirit might want to do. And how do I develop that? And sometimes that does mean, like, hey, I have to, like, not book my schedule so full so that I can learn to recognize and carry that posture with me. Jesus was busy. Like, I imagine, like, the demands on Jesus's time and attention when kind of word gets out far exceeds, like, any of ours. Like, I'm not out doing miracles.
Right. I
mean, you know? And so, and yet, like, he noticed, right? And he was able to you know, in the stories we talked about on Sunday with Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus, like he was able to stop. He changed his plans, right? The scripture talks about Luke 19 that he was just going through Jericho. Like right. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and yet he stays the night right, at Zacchaeus' house. And so do we have that kind of posture in our kind of day to day that when we notice God, we can make those adjustments to partner with what the Spirit is doing. Yeah. And so I think it's one of the hardest things to do is to figure out like, how do we slow down, to see where God might be, intervening, in our lives in an opportunity to encourage someone, connect with someone. It doesn't have to be like some major like event, right? It could just be the barista or, the person in the checkout line or, maybe you're at the grocery store and the lines are really long and you notice that like somebody needs to cut in front of you.
Right.
I mean, it can be simple things.
Yeah. You know? I think that's important to say just because we often have in our minds, oh gosh, I have to create this huge space in my day to then go, do something huge and really can be so simple. And our job is just to be faithful to the Spirit's prompting of us. Mm-hmm. And if our heads are so busy and our hearts are so busy that we can't even notice that, then we're missing it. But again, it could just be like, hey, just say an encouraging word or let someone cut in line or let someone go at the traffic, cut in on you. And like, just, it doesn't have to be that big. And I think that the more we notice and pay attention, then the more we notice, like we realize, the Spirit is really always at work and I'm the one that hasn't been maybe tuning in as much.
Yeah.
And then everything becomes an opportunity to make space to get close to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think like one of the, part of that question was like, what gets in the way? I think for me personally, it's oftentimes just my phone, right? Like whether I'm waiting at the doctor's office or I'm, and you look around, everybody's eyes are on their phone. Right. And so we don't notice anything until, somebody calls our name. And like, what would it look like maybe just to say, I'm not that's a terrible thing, but I'm going to put my phone away.
Right.
When I'm waiting in line or I'm at the doctor's office and just practice noticing.
That's a good takeaway.
Right.
Everybody just, if you're sitting in line, just don't take your phone out.
Yeah.
If you're sitting waiting, just practice it.
Yeah. And see what it could even do like a prayer practice, like God help me to notice what's going on. You may not have, some crazy conversation, but you're training like your heart and your spirit to notice when God wants to get our attention.
Yeah, exactly. So the next question is, how can curiosity, we're talking like asking questions and listening, open the door for change in both ourselves and others? Because it's not just about, well, I'm going to do this thing so that I can, teach somebody else or I can do this. Like it changes us too.
Yeah.
So how can curiosity open the door for that?
Yeah, I don't, some people are naturally curious, right? And others, not so much. And so I think, depending on kind of where you fall on that, but, in Philippians 2, Paul encourages us to have the same attitude as Christ Jesus, and this idea that, that he says, considering others better than ourselves, right? That Jesus went low. And like curiosity, the art of curiosity is thinking of myself less, right? And thinking of others more. And so how do I do that, right? How do I begin to say, I'm more interested in you and learning about you than I am maybe in like proving myself right or protecting something or, whatever it is. And so like, how do I just take that posture? And that can start like, with our family, right? Or with, our neighbors or the people in our church. Like, how do I just ask more questions? And especially when it's like, man, your worldview is different than mine.
Yeah.
Or you're like, wow, talk to me about why you have that position or what led you to think and believe those things. And I think if we do that in a way that's genuine and loving, then that's what opens the door to change, right? I think everybody can tell when you're quote unquote curious, but you're just like looking to defend something, right? But when you're genuinely like, no, I love and value you as a person. Yes. And so I want to know, like, you know, I've had different people, that I've encountered, you know, over the years that have taken a genuine interest, like in my story. Mm-hmm. Right. And they're just like, no, I just want to hear your story. Yeah. And I could tell it was like, they were just genuinely curious. Yep. And they wanted to know more about me. No. It. And they just wanted to know like, hey, like, tell me about your life. I want like, and those people, like they stick with me. Right. Yeah. It's like, man, I want to have that kind of curiosity about people.
Yeah.
And create those open doors, you know, that maybe break down the maybe some of the defense barriers that come up,
yeah,
you know, when we interact with people. You know, and even to the point of like, sometimes when people say, you know, like, hey, how's it going today? You know, they're not, it's just like, this, we're not really interested, right? We're just like, and all stuff, fine, good, you know, okay. You know, again, like going back to even that, coupling that up with slowing down enough to like actually be interested in what the answer is, you know? I don't know. And so I think the more we get curious, the more we ask questions, the more we want to learn and grow and understand. I think, again, that just broadens our perspectives. Mm-hmm. We hear stories in those times, and then that also deepens our empathy and our love and our care and concern. So I think it just all really plays together to help us be people who can represent. You know, the John 1, right? Jesus says, you know, he came full of grace and truth. Mm-hmm. Like, how do I be a person full of grace and truth in the world? Right. Like, I think we do that, slowing down, being curious, like availing ourselves to other people in a way that's authentic and, loving, kind.
Yeah. In a sense. Yeah. I mean, it's simple, but then at the same time, the idea that everything changes when it's someone, you know, especially in our current cultural context, like that has huge implications when we decide to see everybody made in the image of God and believe that that's true, mm-hmm. get proximate to people. Then, you know, you said a lot of this on Sunday, but different things that maybe we're struggling with as a culture right now, or as a country, as a world, and different, like, you know, hot topic things, mm-hmm. it changes when you know someone that's personally affected mm-hmm. by it, whether it's, you know, the SNAP benefits being reduced mm-hmm. or stuff happening at the border or stuff happening in other countries, like, you know, military, all you gave many examples, but like it changes when you know someone that's personally affected and you see them as a person made in the image of God. All of a sudden, maybe your convictions that you maybe once held about things mm-hmm. start to get a little bit messed with mm-hmm. and you have to really think, okay, Spirit, what are you doing in me? And right. so it's as simple as a conversation opener at a, you know, while you're waiting in line, but also has implications beyond that, where I think the true change in us can really happen.
Yeah.
Over time as we submit to the Spirit's work in us.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, you may not change your conviction.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, but you learn to hold intention, right? You learn to say, hey, it's okay that somebody might think differently. Yeah. And I think we remember like that the world is complex and, you know, human nature, again, we want simple answers, right? We want
nuance.
Yeah. And there's so much to what it means to be human and to live in a broken world and a fallen world where some stuff is our fault and some stuff is just the part of living in the brokenness of, you know, and so it's just not as easy as, you know, the politicians, whoever make it sound like this will fix everything. Right. And it's just because of this or just because of that. Doesn't mean we shouldn't try.
Right.
But, and again, we may not change our convictions, but we learn to share life with one another and to hold one another. And as we've said before, make our confession, primary in those pieces. And I think personal connection really helps us to move in that direction.
Yeah. I might not agree with the way you're living your life, but I'm not going to let you suffer because I might disagree with, you know, like I'm going to come alongside you mm-hmm. and hold that love that I have for you in tension with my convictions about, you know, some of the other things. Like, can we do that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think you can find it all over the scriptures. Like even as you were talking, I was thinking you preached on this several weeks back, but when Peter goes to Cornelius's house, yeah. right, in Acts, like this personal connection that literally changed everything for both Peter and
right.
Cornelius and his household. Or you can think about like Paul and Barnabas, right? When Barnabas makes a personal connection with Paul, who was, a persecutor, yeah. and then has this encounter with Jesus, Jesus on the road to Damascus, Barnabas takes him to the Jerusalem Council, right?
Yeah.
And like that personal connection then opens the door for Paul to do
yep.
his work, right? And so all throughout the scriptures, we can see that as people link arms together, yeah. who are radically different than each right. other at times,
yep.
that God uses that to advance the kingdom. And so yeah. I think we have to figure out what it looks like
yeah.
to do that in both small and big ways.
I was thinking about, as you were talking, like the Ethiopian eunuch who's trying to read the scripture and,
yeah.
and is it
Paul? Philip.
Philip. Mm-hmm. He's like, I heard you and I'm just totally radically different, right?
Right.
People. And I'm going to come over. I'm going to get close to you and
yeah.
I'm going to come sit with you and I'm going to walk you
through this. Get in your chariot.
Yeah. I'm going to get up in your business and we're going to walk through this together. Yeah. Just, it can be done.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So like, let's just get practical for a little bit. Like, what are some practical ways that we can do that? Like, what does it look like? I know we've kind of talked about it a little bit.
Yeah. But to connect with others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like for me, sometimes I think as pastors, we feel like pressure.
Yeah.
Like, have to like do all the things, but one of the things that I know I've been trying to lean into is, and I hate it. And I don't know if it's just like, because of what, phones in our pockets have done or whatever, but I am trying to be more intentional about making a phone call mm-hmm. than like shooting a text message mm-hmm. or, just like, getting on the phone with somebody and having an opportunity to, not just like send them a text and be like, yeah. hey, I'm praying for you, but actually get on the phone with them and pray with them.
Yeah.
right. Like, and I don't love talking on the phone, same. And so, But I realize there's a difference, even though like, I think people appreciate, and some of that is just learning to, I think, notice what, what the Spirit's saying to me in the moment. It's like, right. no, this person, you should get on the phone.
Right.
Right. And yeah. call them. But just like, I've just been, that's one space for me that I've been trying to lean into to some of that is like, yeah, it'd be really easy to shoot a text message yeah. and way more efficient, right? Yeah. It's not going to take very much time. But I just need to maybe get on the phone yeah. and have a phone call
yeah.
or, take it a next step, like, hey, maybe you're experiencing some tension, mm-hmm. like with somebody and it's easy, like to try to solve that over text message yeah. or even a phone call. Whereas like, no, like we need to meet in person, right? Because everything changes when you're face to face. Right. And like, it's easy to hide behind, things when you're not. Yeah. And so, one of the things that we talk about here often is that we talk to people, not about people.
Right.
Right. And so like this idea, because of personal connection, right? Yeah. Like, no, like we're gonna come together and work this thing out. And so and those are two things for me. One, I don't love talking on the phone and I don't love conflict. But I think like personal connection moves me towards some things that make me uncomfortable.
Yeah. I think I'm finding myself more like I just ask people, kind of, you said at the start, or like you ask somebody how they're doing and they're like, it's fine, it's okay. And I've just become a little bit more bold and been like, tell me more really how you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to let you off the hook here.
Mm-hmm.
And being willing to go, I'm going to make time, even though I have to run over here. I should be over here at this point. No, I want to know how you're doing
right.
and what's really going on in your life, because I can see a little bit that, maybe you're carrying some stuff, and this isn't even just at church, right? This is just mm-hmm. in the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, what's really going on? And, and then that opens the door for other things, for prayer, for walking alongside them in something, but just not letting people off the hook with a pat answer.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things like learning to know people, right. And know what is meaningful to them. Right. Like one of the things I think I know about you is that like when somebody writes you a note, like a handwritten note, like there's a personal connection there that is way more meaningful than, somebody took the time to do that.
I have them all saved in a box in my office. So yes.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, as we spend time with people, as we make space, we learn, hey, what would be meaningful? And obviously in our closest relationships, right? We know those things and we try to live into those things, but like, how do we be present in people's lives in that way?
Yeah.
And to know them well enough to know, hey, this would be really meaningful for them.
Yeah.
So for some people, like I think about, again, student ministry, like oftentimes showing up at games and things like that. That's meaningful. Mm-hmm. But that may not be meaningful for everybody.
Right.
And so like, how do you know, hey, how can I show up in this person's life in a way that, speaks value to them, in a way that demonstrates that I see them.
Yeah.
Right. And so,
yeah, cause we can make assumptions about what might actually be meaningful to somebody.
Yeah.
But if we get close to them and we learn them and notice, then we might think, actually, this isn't, you know, super meaningful for them.
Right.
So just as an example in the gym, we have this bell that you can ring if you hit a PR, and I love ringing the bell, but some people don't want to ring the bell because they don't want the attention on them. And so learning to like not push somebody to go ring the bell, like that does not meaningful for them. That actually is the opposite, but I thought it was meaningful. And so you have to think about that. Like, what is it, me just projecting what I think they need, or is it me understanding them and going, hey, actually this is more meaningful. Mm-hmm. And then we have to be in proximity with people to know and notice, and then be able to then, you know, move on that.
Right.
That makes sense. But yeah, it takes time. It takes effort and an intentionality.
Yeah. Yeah. So some simple ways I think that that can help us. Again, it doesn't have to be complex,
right?
You know, and it doesn't, like I said, Sunday, you don't have to be best friends with everybody. Like we have to remember, like we have limitations, like we're finite. And so I cannot, you can easily swing to the other side and say personal connection requires me to like jam my calendar full of things and go to every, you know, event and talk to every person and become a person that I'm not. Yeah. Some people, you know, the best picture I can kind of use for this, at least in my mind, is with Legos, right? Some, you can get those like big like Lego mats, you know, that have like 1,000 dots on them, and you can make all sorts of connections, right? And put all sorts of things on that. And some people are wired that way. They have like 1,000 dots, and they just like the more connection, the more people. Some people are like the 2-dot Lego.
That's all I got.
They just don't have we're wired differently. Yeah. And so I think recognizing that, but also not like allowing ourselves to retreat, and to limit ourselves into that. So we are finite. And so I have to learn to notice, right? So I got to slow down to notice, and allow the spirit to move me into maybe some discomfort, but not into the space where then now I'm like sacrificing like my practices and things that make me available to people to have that kind of personal connection.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a balance there that we have to learn. And sometimes we can feel pressure, I think too, in church world, pressure to like, I have to connect with everyone. Mm-hmm. But you have to be open to at least connecting.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about, you know, opening off this series about how these are values for us as a church here at Life Community, but also personal. And so these are examples of both, you know, what it looks like personally. And then this shapes the culture of our church when we are all living into this.
Yep.
Because then we become a church of people who notice and people who move towards others who maybe are different from us. And it just shapes our whole culture. Yeah. And that becomes something you can feel when you're here is that, oh, I'm noticed, I'm seen, and people actually are curious about who I am.
Yeah. Yeah. And like we've talked about with all these, this value has been a part of our church from the beginning. And the church has always been about others. It's always been about, you know, connecting with people and helping them connect with Jesus. And where our church got in trouble is when that value of personal connection turned in on itself.
Yeah.
And that we became, you know, it was very much like family, but it became very inward focused. Mm-hmm. And then that began to essentially poison the soup.
Yeah.
Right? And ultimately that's what caused, you know, its collapse back in the day.
Yeah.
I think it's just because this inward focus that, you know, we started out really well, but it caused us to kind of shrink inwards, and we were no longer looking out and looking at what would continue to help us to see others and not just ourselves.
Yeah.
And so I think that's just important for us to remember as our value of personal connections. We want to build like a family feel. We want to like grow close together. But if we're not careful, we can turn inward.
Yeah.
Right. And so even, you know, one of the things we see at church often, right, is like we come to church and, you know, we're greeting at the front door or whatever. And I, if I'm not careful, I spend all my time talking to my pal.
Yep.
You know, that, and
that
I miss.
You can talk to any other day of the week.
Yeah. And I miss maybe the new folks coming in or the opportunity. And again, not bad.
Yeah.
But it will turn us inward if we're not careful. And so we have to like figure out how do we also begin to keep that personal connection focus that's outward, that we
just going to keep adding to the family.
Yeah. And we want to connect people to Jesus and their life's purpose. Like that's the purpose of the whole thing. Is to help us do that because that's what God did for us. Yeah. And so,
not just the Life Community Church family, the family of God.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and ultimately, right, like we lean into it because this is what God does.
Yeah.
Like, you know, God takes on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ that we might have a personal relationship, with him that then connects us to the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's not just this individualized, my personal salvation. But how do we then participate collectively in our salvation, right?
Right.
In what God is doing. And so just a reminder of like, we do this because it's the gospel, like God gets personal.
Yeah.
And Jesus gets, you know, shows us a personal God motivated by love. Right. And so all throughout the stories of the scripture and the gospels, we just see Jesus moving towards like individual people and seeing people that nobody saw and encouraging his followers to see the people that nobody saw. Right. And making these personal connections with in spaces and places that at least, you know, those Jewish followers were oftentimes like, you don't go make personal connection with those people in those places and those spaces.
Yeah.
And so like it should, the value of personal connection should link us together for the purpose of moving out. Right. Like, how do we participate in what God is doing and expanding the kingdom of God in the world as we link arms together and help be agents of reconciliation in the world? And so that really is kind of the theological thrust behind personal connection.
Yeah.
How we continue to be changed and facilitate change in people's lives.
Yeah. So. Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Next week, we've got another value we're unpacking.
Yeah. Generosity.
It's going to be good.
This Sunday.
Practice and a value. So we'll talk a little bit about what that looks like. So yeah, thanks for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great rest of your day.
We'll see you later.
See you next week. That's a wrap for today. Stay curious and we'll see you next week.